If you'll grab your Bibles with me this morning, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a brief moment this morning to look to God's Word together. It's been a joy to be preaching through the Gospel of Luke. Looking forward to continuing that with you next Sunday as we move into Advent. Today I wanted to pause from our sermon series in Luke to really let the gospel be heard clearly in the testimonies you've heard, and in a shorter sermon to focus on gratefulness on this Thanksgiving weekend. And what does it look like for us to truly be thankful people? We truly have much to be grateful for. And we see this more clearly on days like today as we celebrate God's transformation and grace in so many of our blood-bought family. Psalm 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Again, we have much to be thankful for. So much so that gratitude is not something that we should only major on once a year in a holiday called Thanksgiving, but is an all-the-time walk in Christ. God's revealed will for his people is that we would truly be a grateful people all the time. And this is revealed in places like our primary passage today, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, simply says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Paul's teaching those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are saved, Holy Spirit is dwelling within, that the will of God, the command of God for us, is that we give thanks in all circumstances. We who belong to Christ are to be thankful, to give thanks in every circumstance that we're in. And I really want that to sink in this morning. I want you to consider the tough circumstances that you've been in lately, the frustrating circumstances that you've been in lately. In our flesh, our thankfulness is often temperamental. It's often momentary. See, when our flesh is at the helm and not Christ, our attitude is too often full of, well, attitude. The frustration and anger that brews, bitterness for just about anything, especially the things that don't meet our personal expectations or circumstantial hopes. If we're honest, our all too often practice or norm might be that we are more grumpy people than we are grateful people. This is most likely because people bother us. They don't live up to our expectations. They don't meet our desires or wishes. And this is because often frustrating things happen. Life breaks down. Sin is at work. Church, that can even include our bodies breaking down, our minds, our closest relationships changing, shifting, not meeting our expectations. But I ask you to really lean in this morning to hear the holy will of God for you, church. God's command on us is that our attitude would be one of heartfelt thankfulness instead of fleshly responses that we're so prone to. The question is how? How can true gratitude be an authentic response to life's circumstances, good, bad, or all the rest? And not just a religious override or a mask that we put on to try to fit in. And the answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we truly and authentically be thankful in every circumstance? It has to start with an overwhelming and ongoing appreciation for God's saving grace. When we have a right view of who we are in our sin, and therefore how far we've missed God's mark of holiness and righteousness, And also have a clear view of what God has done to choose us, forgive us, secure us by the blood of Christ into his eternal family, only then will we be so very grateful, even in seasons of a sea of disappointment and frustration. I will have an anchor, a mooring of genuine source for gratitude in the gospel at work in my life. Christian, we absolutely deserved and earned God's wrath, his justice, the eternal pain and suffering that comes as a result of being separated from the holy God because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. We've earned that wage because of our sin. But God, in his great mercy, saved us through Christ. When we have a right view of this, we will be forever grateful. And I truly mean wholly grateful. Paul speaks well of the foundational source of our gratitude in Romans 6, 17. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. We were slaves of sin and death, but have been set free to serve Jesus and obey his commands and to get to live for his glory, no longer our own. And so what does Paul say? He says, thanks be to God. Church, constant thankfulness is a lifelong proper response of the gospel of Jesus that has utterly and completely changed our lives for the better. Hear the heart of Paul and the source of his gratitude as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Do you see? Paul gets it. The motivation for his constant gratitude to God is the complete life transformation that God caused in him through Christ. The Christian who is saved by God's amazing grace is compelled, is moved, is motivated with an attitude of gratitude because they see they were slaves of sin, doomed to wrath, had no hope on our own, and yet God, in his mercy, set us free and gave us new life. Amen. Paul sees how far away from God's holy standard he was. Therefore, he is so thankful for what God has done to send Jesus to atone for the sins of his people. This is why we're thankful in all circumstances. Because our circumstances, watch this, don't change our secured standing in the family of God. We are forever loved and secured by his grace and for his glory. This is the abundant source for our thankfulness and authentic gratitude. Again, our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice with me that Paul does not say we are to be thankful for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. While injustice is rampant and sin is like a deadly virus and temptation is at every corner, we are not thankful for evil or sin or a world who hates our Lord and therefore hates us. But we are thankful in the midst of it all. Paul learned to understand what it is to really experience a life of gratitude despite what he had or not. Philippians 4, 11 through 12. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation, I am to be content. We could say thankful. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Oh, how I want us to know Christ at such a core place in our soul that we come to know these words of Paul as our reality too, church. Let us consider another reason for why we're thankful in any circumstance when we know Jesus as Lord. One of the great foundations of our ongoing thankfulness is our perspective on what we deserve versus what we've received. See, in our view of life, that we deserve good things to come our way, it is easy in that view to become bitter, to become angry when it doesn't go the way I believe it should. This can be a cause of much struggle in our lives. Let me ask you to consider your own life this morning. What happens when you lose things that you've come to expect? What happens when there's a power outage and you can't watch TV or operate the hairdryer or do basic things? Life's interrupted. What happens when you get sick or you can't do something that you had planned to do? Church, we have to see the bigger circumstances, even when our circumstances are really hard. We have to see the bigger picture. We must realize that the things we have are privileges. They're not rights. They're blessings from God. To see rightly that life itself is a gift of God. He doesn't owe us today. He doesn't owe us tomorrow. The very workings of our body, the ability to live and interact with others are all great blessings. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. In all that people who have been saved by him have come to know. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Have you ever heard someone answer the question, how are you doing? And they say, better than I deserve. Or they would say, I'm blessed. Now, those answers can become very Christianese, things we get used to saying because it's our answer. But when you know that that brother or sister is really going through it and they genuinely say better than I deserve or that I'm blessed, what a testimony. I mean, that means that they're not looking to their circumstances or lack thereof, right? This is a person who's aware of the grace that they've been given in Christ and are still thankful for the fact that they've been given far more than they deserve. No matter what has been stripped away, they are still abundantly blessed and therefore they are thankful. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Church, we are blessed, we are loved, we're provided for, we are secure in Christ, possessors of every spiritual blessing in Christ. Think about that. And therefore, thankful. Let us join Paul, who learned contentment and joy despite his circumstances because of Christ, who is his life. Because he was adopted forever and no longer an orphan. We are too. Listen to his words in Colossians 3:15-17. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Are you thankful despite your circumstances? Not as a religious act, but as a true response of what it is to belong to Him. Your heart is one of gratitude, not because of what you have or how you look, but because of how blessed you are in Christ. Because you possess in Christ every spiritual blessing. Now, before I wrap up this morning, I want to give you a couple practical takeaways. I recognize a lot of the kids are in the room with us today, and I pray for this is good for all of us, young and old. The first is the discipline of prayers of gratitude. We see in the previous verse of our main verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, I've read 18. Let me read 17 with 18. He says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Regular and faithful practice of going to God in prayer is one of the major ways that He reminds us of all that He is and all that we are in Him. That allows us to reorient our hearts to Him as the source of authentic praise and gratitude. That reorientation helps us to navigate the stuff in this world, the stuff of our days. So a practice of prayer and being thankful to God will be a way to ground ourselves. When we pray without ceasing, that is therefore a walking by faith with God, a remembering who I am in Christ that will help me well up with true thanksgiving and put away fleshly bitterness or anger. Paul speaks to the need of the combination of prayer and thanksgiving in his very famous words in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God's word says that we should share our honest request. Whatever is on your heart and mind, bring it to Him. He knows your heart. He knows you better than you do, right? But bring it with thankfulness. When the circumstances of life get hard, and they will, we who belong to Christ are not to turn to anxiousness. That's when that stuff's in our hands. But in prayer, we put it in His hands with gratitude, and He blesses us with peace. That's what Paul says next. When we do that, when we give it to Him in prayer, gratitude, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And therein lies that testimony. When you're going through really hard, raw, painful, unjust stuff, and people see joy, they see peace, they see gratitude in you, they go, where? Why? They see the work of God because you're giving it to Him, because you're walking by faith and trusting it to Him. That we would have prayers of gratitude. Number two, that we'd have a testimony of gratitude, church. One of the important ways we remain thankful in all things is to remain mindful of all that God has done. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. To recall all that God has done will cause our hearts to well up with praise. And our testimony of all that He's done is to be shared. This is not to happen in just moments like today. It's to be something that our lives are about, that people, when they interact with us, they get Jesus. And they see His work in us. That our testimony of gratitude for God is constantly on our lips. Psalm 107, 1 through 2, I give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us testify. God wants all those that He put in our path to see and hear our testimony of humble gratefulness in the midst of our struggles. The reason why is because it is powerful. If we read Scripture rightly, we see that the Lord often ordains much of our struggle. Why? Because the light is brighter in the midst of the struggle, the sweetness of God's mercy and grace. And he'll use that for his eternal purposes. How many times has a secular friend said to you regarding an injustice you're facing, man, I really hope this goes your way because you deserve it. Or they'll say, you don't deserve what you're going through. See, secular, godless people think this way because in their sin, they don't see rightly what we really deserve because of our sin. When injustice and hardship happens and it doesn't go our way, and yet we respond with true gratitude because of who we are in Christ and because our joy is in Christ and in our circumstances, this is truly a revolutionary testimony that shines bright in a dark world to those who are watching. Christian, is your daily testimony to others a grateful disposition? If not, how can repentance and obedience go to work as a result of our time in the Word this morning? That we know God, that we see that we belong to Him, that we're saved and forgiven of our sins. And so I can testify gratefulness, even in the midst of great hardship or injustice. And when I do, I take my light from underneath the basket and I let it shine. Finally, not only a practice of prayer, full gratitude, or a testimony of gratitude, church, that we would practice encouragements of gratitude. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Biblical encouragement is more than complimenting someone's t-shirt or, man, you make great cookies. That kind of encouragement is important and fine, but the encouragement we see in the scriptures is explicitly a Christian encouragement. It's encouragement shared with the hopes that it lifts someone's heart towards the Lord. Encouragement points out evidences of grace in their life to help them see that God is at work in and through them, despite themselves. Encouragement points a person to God's promises that assures that all they face is under control. Christian encouragement reorients another to Christ, and here's the key, and not to oneself. See, that's important. We need to not miss that. Secular encouragement is incomplete because any word of encouragement that only draws the hearer to oneself is pointing to someone who will let them down. We need to be reminded who we are in Christ. The rock we stand on is Jesus. This is true encouragement. The Greek word for encouraging is parakaleo. It's para to come alongside, kaleo to call aloud. It is to sympathetically come alongside someone and speak out words that build up. God knows his people are in need of grace-filled reminders. And so he calls us, he commissions us, church, to encourage one another. Right? And if you're thinking, man, I'd sure like to be encouraged. I'd like to be encouraged by others more. Can I say lovingly to you that this is a sign that you're not pursuing life together enough with others, or your sin is making it all about you? Beloved, the command is that we are to practice encouragement. Your takeaway needs to be less about what you are not receiving and more about, are you honoring the thing that God's called you to? If we do this, then everyone will be encouraged as the Lord intends. Think about a person that maybe you've been frustrated to not hear from or receive love from or interest from as of late. You'd love to hear from that person. You'd love for them to reach out or share some encouragement or interest for you. We've all been in this place. And to help you get unstuck from that, here would be your next step if you're genuinely feeling that. You be the one to send some love and encouragement. You be the one to initiate the Christian discipline of encouraging one another, to tell them what you're grateful for about them. God's command on us is clear. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Last time I checked, today is called today. Encourage one another daily, right? So we're not banking on, yeah, but I said something nice 8 days ago, 8 weeks ago. I promise you, if you do this better, you will receive more than you do. And here's why. I've had a unique seat in pastoring the church for many decades. And here's how this happens. When you do this, it helps you to come out of the shadows. I have found that people who are reserved or not active in the interactions of the body of Christ are not disliked by others like they might think they are. They are respected by others in such a way where the others are doing what it seems like you're projecting you want. And what is that? To be left alone. Right? If you will share some gratitude instead of complaints and look to encourage others instead of critique them, you will be seen as one who is truly a part of the body, and they will engage you more. Now, some of you hear me say that, and you think, if you're really honest, but I kind of want to be left alone. And I would just say back to that, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Christian, you're a part of that. Now, to circle back to how this applies to gratitude, one of the primary ways we honor God and encourage one another is to be far more constant in sharing our thankfulness for God's work in one another. It's one of the best ways you encourage each other. Here's how I see God at work in you. Again, the early church Christians modeled this so well. Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Church, how often are you blessed by the love, ministry, kindness, service, leadership of others, and yet so rarely stop just to say thank you? Thankfulness for others, for how God's at work in them. This should be a good practice of the faithful in Christ Church. I've efforted to practice this well with you, to say thank you for what you do, for the ways you serve, or just who you are in the Lord. I found it helpful not to wait to do that. But more often when that comes to mind, sometimes I'll just shoot an email or a text or pick up the phone and not wait. I've also tried to impress this on my family to teach them that we need to be practicing gratitude as a good discipline of the faith, to really be pressing into Christ and letting the overflow of that equal a testimony that says thank you. Not just saying thank you, but why I'm thankful. This is truly a powerful way that we love each other and point each other back to Christ and or the lost to Christ. So I ask you, what does this look like for you? Might what it look like to better practice this discipline, that Thanksgiving would not be a box check this week and then on to new things, but Thanksgiving would be a testimony of the saved, an attitude of my day and of my words. What does it look like, parents, to raise our children, to model this for them and to teach them this? What does it look like for us to simply practice this better here at our church? When you pick up your kids from kids ministry, when you see someone cleaning the campus, when you walk by the sound booth, when you interact with the church staff or long-standing faithful members who have long suffered in our church, when you see God just at work in others. It really is a wonderfully easy thing just to say, I'm just thankful for you. Here's what I see God doing in you. And just to share it. Are we a grateful people? I pray we are more so day by day as God sanctifies us and matures us. We pray for, we testify to others, and we encourage one another in a true, authentic, grateful attitude. Woe to the church who only expresses thankfulness once a year on Thanksgiving. No, this needs to be a part of the DNA of who we are in Christ, something we really practice and grow in and become known for. What marvelous things does he have in store for us in the coming days, weeks, or months, simply because we effort to just share that gratefulness more than we do. As we prepare to close our fall celebration this morning in a united song of praise, I pray that we would well up with true gratitude, most of all, for our gracious Lord. The psalmist did this so well, time and time again. Psalm 7:17, I will thank the Lord because he's just. Psalm 30, verse 12, oh, thank you, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Church, we have much to be thankful for. Amen? Let us express our gratitude to God in all these things, for he is surely worthy of it all. Pray with me and we'll sing together. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us this morning to hear testimony.